Thank the Lord. It does matter to Him what's going on in our lives. And you know, this thing I always think about the Lord, when He's dealing with me and we're spending time together, and I always think about how it matters to Him what's going on in my life. And I may not think about it that way, but let me explain what I mean. When the Lord comes along and He pats me on my back, I know He loves me. You know, when He comes along and He corrects me, I know He loves me. It matters to God what's going on in our life. And I thank the Lord that that's who we serve tonight. And tonight, as the Lord has given us some burdens, and maybe there's some things in them that may be a little hard to receive in the flesh, but in the spirit we can receive them, because we know if the Lord's saying anything to us, it's something for good. So you pray for us. Let's bow our heads here for a moment. Dear God, we are so thankful that You love us. Lord, we couldn't say that enough. Lord, You have proven it to us. You have blessed us time and time again. And we're so thankful that You are a loving Lord who cares about our lives, dear God. And Lord, it's amazing. You care about those of us who have chosen You and live for You. And Lord, You care about those of us who haven't. God, You care about all of us in between. I remember when You even spoke to Jerusalem, who You had tried to correct over and over, and You said, "How many times would I have gathered You under My wings?" Lord, help us tonight to let You gather us under Your wings, dear God. That's where we want to be. Lord, would You bless by Your Spirit and God direct in everything that is said and done, Lord, that would be what You desire it to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have a confession to make to you. I love people, and I don't like to share things that I think might be a little hard for people to receive. It's a struggle I have. I think about how Jesus, so many of the times He spoke in parables. Most of the time, really, He spoke in parables when He was trying to get a message across to somebody. And there's a lot of reasons why He did that, I believe. And we won't go into that right now, but there were times He spoke very directly. And, I think, without giving my opinion of when that should happen or not, I feel like there's some things that last night, as we talked about, that I should have said a little more specifically. And so we're going to have a little bit of a wrap-up of last night for just a moment here. We want to be faithful to the Lord. And then we'll move on into the message, the burden that He's given us tonight. Last night, most of you were here. Some of you were not. We had a burden from the Lord, and first off, the main burden of the meeting is that we turn resolutely towards Christ, that we stop playing games, that we stop hanging out, and for more than just to see a church on the move. We need to turn resolutely to Christ and pursue Him, because if we don't, we're giving space to the devil to take the strings back up that we've been set free from by Christ. And we won't go back into the whole message. But you know, there's a lot of ways, you know, that we talked about that we can do that. But turning resolutely to Christ solves those issues. One of the things that I feel like the Lord would have me mention, because it's something we're dealing with today, is the cell phone. The cell phone has a lot of good uses, a lot of things that we use it for. So this is not a message about getting rid of cell phones. And this is not a comment about getting rid of cell phones. That's not, I don't believe, what the Lord expects of us or desires of us. But He also doesn't want us to be captive. And I want to tell you what, there are other things that can hold you captive these days that Satan can use. But one thing that we're dealing with where we are is the cell phone. And so specifically, I want to share the burden that the Lord's put on my heart and give me that specific and mention it out and let you know that it is a dangerous piece, and that it says one of the verses we used last night was how Satan takes those captive at his own will, at his own whim. And if you're not careful with your cell phone in the way that you use it, it's one of those strings that Satan's going to use to pick back up and control you. And I believe I've shared what the Lord would have me share about that. And if you have any questions, of course, that's a good thing to seek counsel about and understand and seek how to handle that thing in your life, because chances are you're going to have one and you're going to need to know how to handle it. All right. I would hesitate to say it's the biggest issue we face, but it's a pretty big one. So I feel like the Lord wanted me to name it out specifically. And so we've done that. We've shared that, I believe, as the Lord would have us to. And I'd like to now move on to what the Lord has given us tonight. Last night we wanted to become aware about the need to turn resolutely to Christ, and how that when we don't, Satan, the great puppet master, has the opportunity to pick back up strings and begin to control our life in some ways, you know, little by little. All right, I think somebody mentioned that a little bit last night, that he can take back over. You know, God is changing us little by little, but you know what? If we give devil change the room, he can do the same thing. So that was the burden of last night, but now we want to delve more into, as we recognize that, then we say, okay, so how do I turn resolutely to Christ? I need to know. I need to understand now that I know I need to, so help me understand a little more how I do that. And that's the burden that the Lord has given us tonight, is some tools, some understanding of how to turn resolutely to Christ. And I want to share, too, that what the Lord has given us, I believe, is a framework, is the basis. You know, if you've got a stable foundation, you've got space to kind of figure out what's above it. You know what I mean? And in your house, if you've made a stable foundation and you've got that right and you've got that down under whatever you're building, you know, if you get something on top of that and you start building it and you realize, wait a minute, there's a little error here. Well, it's still an ordeal. You still got something to correct. But if you're on a foundation, you can do it. You can do it so much better. And so it's very important to get the foundation right, because if you don't, then as you begin to try to build on top of that, it's kind of like you kicked an anthill. I don't know how else to say it. It's just, this is here and this is here and here's here and this is sliding and we don't understand. So we want to get the basis. That's what God's given us tonight. Not all the details. Not God take you on from this and show you so much more. But we want to get that foundation down and understand what are the foundations. As a babe in Christ, we want to know that. And as someone who's walked a long time, we want to remember that. Because it's still what needs to be under whatever we're doing. However we're pursuing Christ, it should be found within that foundation. If it's something besides what sits on top of that foundation, then chances are we're not really where we need to be. And chances are we're not really pursuing Christ the way we need to pursue Him. And so chances are that we're making room for Satan in our life or in our interactions somehow to have room to work again. And that's not what we want. Because we know what the result of that is. Because he doesn't pick up the strings just to play around or just to have a little fun. This is life and death, y'all, eternally, that we're dealing with here. So we want to know that we're doing it right. And so one of the ways is to have that foundation and then see as you establish that, whatever you're doing on from there, does it match up? Does it fit on top of the foundation? Can you imagine making a foundation for your house that was 40 by 30, and I'm sure most of us have bigger houses than that, but anyways, just a number thrown out there. Can you imagine, and maybe we don't, I don't know, I'm not good at, I guess that's pretty big. Anyways, a good size, 1,200 square feet, but whatever the case may be, imagine you making it 40 by 30 and then deciding that you're gonna build this wall 50 feet long. It's not gonna work. I mean, you got part of it on the foundation, so it's there, but then there's a part that's not on it, and if you're going to build anything on top of that and it starts weighing it down and there's nothing holding it, all of a sudden you're just going to have a crumbling effect. And you know what? The part that wasn't on the foundation crumbles. It pulls on things that were on the foundation. And it begins to be a mess. So we want to understand the importance of what we're looking at tonight, and that then we need to take that and make sure we're building on top of it with our actions at all times. And so we want to start off with a verse, common verse in Colossians, the third chapter, and the first verse. And probably there's several people that might even be able to just quote that out to us right now. But let's read it here, Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, saved. All right? Here's what you need to do then. Here's how we come after Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. All right? So that can help us a lot, just right there, just that singular verse. And thinking about that as we begin to build, that's a foundational verse, all right, for us in life. You start building on your foundation and you begin to have affection on things that are not to do with heaven, well, you're getting off your foundation, all right? So just that verse alone can help us. But I think we can delve into it a little bit and maybe even get a little more understanding of the things we should be putting into our foundation as we pursue after Christ. So it says, seek those things which are above. So what are those things? What are the things that matter in heaven? What is it that, you know, we sit down here on earth and we get together and we talk and, oh, here's what matters. You know, we want to have a warm home. We want to have such and such in our home, maybe, or we could take that on out to basics or to extended things that that matter to us, you know, that maybe we want. But what matters in heaven? What are the things of heaven? Because the scripture just told us that needs to be what our focus is on. So how can we do that if we don't really think about what is it that matters in heaven? All right, so let's look at a few verses here. First one I want to look at is Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we'll pick up in the 17th verse. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord just gave us a vision into heaven a little bit right here about what matters in heaven, okay? And what matters in heaven is God's word, is his commandments, is what he has taken and given to us. Specifically, Jesus made a point. He didn't say, whatever the Lord's thinking or whatever. He said his commandments, the law and the prophets. Get a hold of that. What has been given to you, mankind, those things that have been passed to you that have come straight from the throne of God through his law, through his prophets, now through his son Jesus, that have been established and delivered to you, whosoever shall go and begin to say that these things don't matter, that's not appreciated in the kingdom of heaven. And that's putting it lightly. The word here, least, means that's about as despicable as you can get in their eyes. You mean the God of heaven has said, here is my word. Here is what I want you to do. Here is how I want you to do it. I have had the mercy on you to tell you what I expect of you and to give it to you. And you're going to tell me it doesn't matter what I've handed to you. That you don't need to worry about it. Just move on. Do whatever. Don't worry about it. If somehow you're not following one of these commandments, don't worry about it. that's not appreciated in the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus just told us it wasn't. That it's something that is despicable and distasteful to the kingdom of heaven. But he also said, but whosoever shall go along and say, this is the word of God. This is the Lord. You know, we pick this thing up so many times, and I'm not faulting anybody. I'm talking about us as humans. There's no doubt pretty much every one of us at some time in our life picked this thing up a little too casually. We'll need to be reminded sometimes. But whosoever will remember and pick this up and say, this is the Lord. He decided to take the time to make sure that it got to his people through his Spirit, speaking through people, writing it down, inspiring people, that he took the time to do that and to give it to us. And there's those who don't value it, but there's those who can look at that and say, I want to know what's in here. I want to know this is the Lord speaking to me. And I want to do all I can to follow it. You know, it says that's not just what he expects, but that there's a beautiful thing in that to the Lord. He said he should be called the greatest. Who would be called the greatest? The one who will take this and understand that this is the most precious book we have. This communication we have from God is more valuable than what's on my cell phone. This communication from God is more valuable. Look, I'm just what the Lord puts in my mind. It's more valuable than the hobby I feel like I've got to go do every Saturday, every Sunday. Every morning before things really get going, I've got to go do so and so. That's more valuable than this. Is that how we feel about it? What is it that distracts us from what we're holding in our hands? And I'm like, we're not going to walk around with the Bible. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, in our hands all the time. But how do we look at it? Do we really value it? And Lord, help us, because probably we all could have the Lord, a need from God for us to say, you know what? I really need to have a little more attention to this. I need to value this a little more. You know, Psalms 119. Does anybody know Psalms 119? What stands out about Psalms 119? Anybody want to tell me? Brother Rod just said it. He didn't say it loud enough, but I'll say it for him. He said it's long. It's very long. It's 176 verses. Has anybody read it? Don't raise your hand. You're going to make me feel bad, because I think I've read it through, but the way I am with my attention, I'm not sure I've ever read it through one time total. But I know I've read it through, because I know something about it that God showed me here a little recently. Do you know that almost every single verse in Psalms 119 comments about the value of God's word? It may use the word precept, it may use the word law, the commandments, but almost every single verse, I think it's maybe two or maybe three that don't specifically reference that. But every single other verse references the value of the word of God. Somebody got a hold of it and tried to tell us and tried to share with us by the grace of God and by his inspiration to try to get through. Read it. You know, and I'm not saying you got to go home and read it all through, but read it and think about that. Somebody got a hold of what this means, what this word means to us, and how valuable it is. And it takes care of it solves everything. It, by the grace of God, he uses it. It's alive. And it works in every situation to help me to know what to do by the grace of God and by his Spirit helping me to understand what it says. And so, was it David? Was it a psalm that he collected? Whoever it was got a hold of that in that psalm and tried to share it with us. How do I value it? Do I have that much respect towards it? You know, do I have that much respect specifically, not just towards the word, but towards keeping it? Because that's what he said. He said here, part of it is valuing the word, but that's not the completion of it. not just valuing it, understand what it is, but then keeping the word, putting a guard around it. Those things that God has used from it, has put in our heart, putting some fences around those things. That's what the word keep there means. It means to guard it with a sentinel. Just put up a whole army around it. When God gives you something out of the word to stand on, do you realize that's some eternal security in your life? Yeah, you've got the choice to step off of it, but if you don't, that's something that will keep you stable in life because God has given it to you out of his word, and now you've got a piece of the rock to stand on in your life. Do you guard it? Do you protect it? Do you value the word of God? This is one of the basis of our foundation of coming after Christ, of turning resolutely to him, is valuing his word and keeping it. Because the Lord said that's who's called the greatest. Well, they're sitting around up in heaven and they're looking down here. Oh, see that one? He's determined to do what he can to guard those things we've given him out of that word. That's one of the great ones right there. That's what he just said that they're talking about in heaven. So here's something. This is one of the first part. Valuing the word of God. And valuing, keeping it, as it says in Psalms 11 and 7, it says, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. That's what he wants to see out of our life. That's why he went to all the trouble that he did to make a way to be able to, we sang that song about send the power down. And Brother Rod, I love what you said and how you brought out what that power is. The power to make a difference in our life, that we're no more that same old person that fails over and over to keep the word of God. But now we have a power from on high that can enable us to live the way the Lord wants us to and can help us guard those commandments in our heart. Here is one of the three things we want to talk about tonight as part of the foundation in coming after Christ and turning resolutely towards him. So what I just said was, if you're willing to do that, that's one of the steps to turning towards him and going. And if you're not, you don't have the foundation you need. You need to seek the Lord to help you. Like the one father said, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I know I need to value this more. I know I need to set my heart on keeping this, on following your word, on doing what it says. Help me. The Lord will. He'll come alongside you. It matters to him. Your success matters to him. He wants to see it happen. You know, there's a verse over in Matthew, the 9th chapter. Here's the second thing. So the first thing is valuing the word of God and keeping it. All right, the second thing here is found in Matthew 9, and we'll start down in the 9th verse. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. What's the second thing that needs to be a part of our foundation? Mercy. You know, when the Lord came and sat down at this table, do you notice that he didn't start assigning who could sit beside him? I'm telling you, it's a little thing, but it touches my heart. He sat down at the table, and it says, sat at meat Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. I just picture this room, and I don't know what it was like, but Jesus walks in and he sits down, and those that have been following him, they kind of come and they kind of sit down, and then all of a sudden this one guy's kind of looking, and he comes over and he's kind of afraid, almost maybe somebody say, get out of here, but he goes in, sits down, and then this other one over here, this who knows what they've done, but there's a sinner, and they kind of find their way in, and they're almost expecting someone to say, you have to leave. But the Lord's sitting there, and he reaches over and he just passes some of the bread, some of the fried chicken. I don't think they ate fried chicken, but whatever it is they were sitting there eating, he just reached over and passed some to them. You're welcome. You're welcome here. This is what I'm about. You know, this is what the Lord expects us to be about too. Wait, who is it? Who are they? Okay, what's the pedigree? What's no. Here you go. Come on in. Come on in. It's the house of the Lord. You got problems? You know what? We've all had them. Still got them, really. It may be different than what we were dealing with at one time, and it may be different than your problems. But we're all here because of the Lord. That's why we're here. And we certainly don't want you not to feel like you can come sit right here with us. And I'm not talking, yes, obviously in church, but I'm talking about in our lives. Having that basis of mercy. We don't look to see who's qualified and who's not. If there's one more that wants to come sit close to Jesus, come on in. Come in. Come on in. Praise God. Get on in here close. Listen. Hear it. What is it that the Lord wants to share with you today? You know, sometimes it's just being there, just being around him. Sometimes the disciples were just around the Lord, and sometimes he taught them. But he always welcomed them. He always welcomed them in. You know, that needs to be a foundation of our lives in following Christ. That's one of the things that heaven values. Jesus just showed it to us right here. It said in another place, well, it's actually Matthew 11 and 28. A lot of us know that verse. It says, come unto me, all you that pass through the first three steps and qualify, and I will give you rest. No, it doesn't. That's not what it says. It says, come unto me, all ye that what? That are weak and heavy laden. All you who haven't got all your problems fixed, who haven't got everything set right, come on in. Come on in. And you know, the Satan tries to mimic everything, and he's tried to mimic that. But he doesn't fix anything. He just makes it more of a problem. But you know, when a soul comes into the Lord, he said, come on in, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. This is why we're here tonight, because the Lord has given us rest in our spirit, in our soul. And I want to see that. I'm here tonight because I realize the need for that to continue in my life. And I realize that it didn't come because I figured something out. It's not why it came at all. All right? It came because the Lord gave it to me. He welcomed me in. He said, come on. Come on. Come on down. Here you are. Here's what you need. Let me take that heavy load off your back. Let me lift it up. You know, I know we can't do that. We can't take the actual loads off of people's back, but we can do everything but it. We can open our arms as much as possible and show people the love of Christ and let them see and get as close to him as they can. Or maybe they can get that connection and the Lord, they can come to him and he can lift that load off their back. Because that's what he wants. That's his desire. The Lord's not sitting here going, I want you close enough so where I can mark off a checklist about all the things you've done wrong and convince you of how miserable a person you are. You know what? If you've gotten close enough to the Lord, it's because you begin to realize what a miserable person you are without him. How miserable I am. I need something different. I don't even know what to ask for. I just know there's a man named Jesus, and he promised to give me rest. And so here I am. And the Lord loves that. That's what he loves. He loves to see that. He loves to extend that mercy. He loves to see his people showing that same spirit of mercy. And so if anything in my life, if I'm building anything and it's contrary to mercy, I'm not on the foundation I need to be on. I'm out in the territory where the devil can play, can pick up a string in my life and begin to move me in directions that are detrimental to my soul and are dangerous for me. So mercy, that's one of the second things there. All right, and the third thing. All right, let's look in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and the 15th verse says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." The Lord is awesome. We have verses that talk about he's high and lifted up. And how he told Moses, he said, "All right, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to cover you with my hand. And you can see the back side of me, but you cannot see my face because no man can see my face and live." Why? Because of the glory of God. It's just too great. That's why. He's amazing. He's high and he's lofty. And there is nothing about him that's despicable or menial in any way. But he is all glory and amazing. Absolutely amazing. And he dwells in the high and holy place. But he says he does it with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, we talked about the puppet that has no life. The Lord came to give us life, to revive us, to bring us back to life, to give us the choice to turn resolutely toward him, where we now have that option to make that choice in our life, to turn towards him and come towards life and to live eternally. We have, because he's revived us. But one of the cornerstones, cornerstones of heaven, is that those who are there are humble and contrite spirits. They're the ones who are willing to humble themselves. One place Jesus said, he said, whoever this rock, speaking of himself basically in the word and who he represented, whoever this rock falls on, it will crush them. But whoever falls on this rock will be broken. Well, that was Jesus saying, if you're willing to humble down, you can be broken and poured out of all your misery, and I can give you rest. That's basically what Christ was saying there. But if you're not willing to, there will come a day where this rock will fall on you and you will be crushed. There will be no hope. As it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I want to be one of the ones who's already on his knees. Already on his knees saying, you are Lord. You are Lord in every way. Why call you me Lord, Lord? Don't do the things I say. Lord, you're Lord. I don't claim a bit of ownership of my life. I am only an earthen vessel, and you are the one who makes the difference in my life. You are the one who is worthy of all the honor and all the praise. You know, this is, again, one of that third cornerstone in the foundation. And maybe we shouldn't call it a cornerstone, but it's part of the foundation that we build our house on, that we turn and we come towards Christ resolutely, is humility. Recognizing, he said in one of the verses we read just a minute ago, he said, they that are well do not need a physician. He went saying that there's some people in life who are well and don't need a savior. Because that's what that parallel really what he was saying. He was the great physician of the soul. And he wasn't saying that there's people who don't need it. He was saying, unless you recognize your need and you're willing to humble yourself down, there's nothing that can be done for you. You know, that's true of us getting salvation, and that's true of the way we walk. If we're going to turn resolutely towards Christ, we're going to have to turn towards him in a humble way. understanding that it's not about me, that I don't want to see anything elevating me. God said his glory he would not give to another. I don't want to be one of those challenging that statement from God. I want him to have all the glory in life, and I want to walk humbly with him. And if we make a little adjustment here, because valuing the word of God and keeping it, well, really, we could say that that's really the way that we do justly. So I don't know if by now a verse is coming to your mind, but there's one we want to look at to close up here. And I kind of feel like we might we could have started with it, but then would you have listened to the rest of the message? I feel like the Lord has some things he wanted to say first. So let's turn over to Micah 6 and 8. Micah 6 and 8 says, well, let's back up to the 6th verse and read, start there. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What is it that the Lord's going to require? What is it that's the basis of everything we do as we follow him that should be found? All the things we build on it should line up with these things, all right? It says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? You pray for me.